ever that would be sarcastic or ever try to embarrass you.
Oh, Don, come now. You know today is payday, so there's no need to try to butter me up.
And furthermore, you've always been one of the closest friends. The man I call...
Boss. Yes, I know.
I never meant it to be...
Oh, you didn't mean it to be sarcastic. Well, look, Don, we have a long show to do tonight, so let's
just... Now, Jack, if I had any idea that you would misconstrue what I meant was a compliment, I certainly wouldn't have said it.
Okay, let's forget about it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since we're going to do a very important...
Jack, I can't forget it.
Don, I'm just...
I wouldn't say anything to hurt you for the world.
All right.
In fact, when I thought of that introduction, I told it to my wife, and she said, "Donald, that's beautiful. I'm so glad you're not going to say anything to make that old goat unhappy."
What? Don, your wife called me an old goat?
Well, then she told me about Johnny Carson's latest divorce. And then she told me I'd better not mention that old goat comment to you.
Don, does your wife know about the new contract I gave you? Did you say Johnny Carson?
Well, Jack, it's not so different. I've always worked from week to week for you. And yes, I did mention Johnny Carson in that today's payday for all of us.
Well, this year you're working from word to word. I can fire you between LS and MFT. Now go sit down. Did you say payday?
Now, wait a minute, Jack.
What?
If you feel my services are no longer needed on this program, you just say the word and I'll go. Yes, today is payday.
Don, forget it. Sit down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to do a very, very important... Oh, hello, Mary.
Now, hello, Jack. I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
Well, this isn't about Johnny Carson or payday, is it?
No, neither. But since you mentioned it, today is payday. Anyway, I was driving down Sunset Boulevard. I made a left turn from the wrong lane, and a cop stopped me.
No kidding. Did you get a ticket?
Well, he was going to give me one, but I talked him out of it. I told him I was a working girl, and I didn't have much money. And right now, it was especially tough on me because I was sending my brother through college. And that today was payday.
Well, did he believe you?
Well, almost all of it, until I told him I worked for you, and so the payday part of the story didn't fly.
It is payday, Jack. You know what that means.
What? Oh, Don, stop talking about payday.
No, I won't stop talking about it.
Jack, look, here comes Dorchester, Rochester's British cousin. I wonder what he wants.
Mr. Binney, I think you need to check on you-know-what.
What does he mean, Jack?
I can't talk about it.
Hello, Mr. Binney.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Isn't it a beautiful day? And Mr. Binney, you look so youthful today. So well-groomed, so handsome.
Yes, Dennis, I know. Today is payday.
Did I hear someone say payday?
It's like bees smelling honey.
Mr. Binney?
What is it, Dorchester?
Ed.
Ed?
Jack, you know... Ed, the man in the vault, way down in the basement, the lower level basement.
But Mary, that means I have to actually go all the way down to the vault, turn both of those big combination locks, trying to remember the numbers, and then take out all that money.
But Jack, at least you don't have to worry about a divorce lawyer like Johnny Carson. My little old Alice would never let me divorce her.
Well, why is that, Phil?
Because she has all the numbers to the safety deposit boxes and knows where all my skeletons are.
What kind of skeletons, Mr. Harris?
Bones, boy. Bones. Lots of bones.
Mr. Binney, would you ever get divorced when you get married?
Well, Dennis, I don't know. I haven't really given that any thought.
I can answer that for him, Dennis.
Now, Mary, what do you mean?
You would never divorce your wife, Jack. You know that.
Why is that, Mr. Binney? Because you love her so much?
No, Dennis, because he's too cheap to pay for a divorce lawyer.
I could never believe such a thing.
Dennis, believe it.
Mr. Binney, the vault.
Oh, yes, Ed, down in the vault. I think we should have our very special guest, the Golden Strings from Tremper High School. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome them as I go way down to the vault to get that money for my cast. Take it away, the Golden Strings. Ladies and gentlemen, weren't the Golden Strings from Tremper High School great? All of those wonderful, well-tuned violins. Okay, now here it is, all of this money for my cast. Coins, no less. At least I don't have to roll out those dollar bills. Now, who could that be? I'm not expecting anyone, I don't think. Oh, look, folks, it's Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen.
Look, Bergen, it's old skinflint Benny.
Now, Charlie, don't you start in. It's Mr. Jack Benny, and I expect you to behave yourself. After all, it is his show, and he can spend his money any way he wants.
Or not. Yeah, I know. I was just checking to see if you knew. You should, you Chief Gate. He's just like you.
Edgar, what brings you down here to Beverly Hills?
Charlie and I were looking for Ronald Coleman's house, and we found yours instead.
Well, Ronald and Benita lived next door.
We knocked on their door, but no one was home. Looking at you, I see there's no one here either.
Now, why did you want to see Ronald?
Well, Benny, you see, they were looking for talent for their radio show, The Halls of Ivy.
Well, I didn't know they were doing a new show. You know, boys, I've been looking high and low for some new talent for my show next season.
Yeah? Well, why didn't you look for us?
Because I didn't expect to have to look so low.
Why, you...
No, Charlie. Jack, you know how moody Charlie gets when he's yelled at that way.
Do you work hard? Are you reliable? You don't drink, do you?
Oh, no. We hardly eat. What about the money?
Charlie, that's okay. You won't have to pay me anything.
Ah, now look here, you poor excuse for an old wrinkled wallet. I meant you paying us.
Well, maybe I'll take a chance with you. I can't pay you much, you see. Times are hard.
Yeah, so are those nickels you keep on biting with your teeth.
Now, Charlie, don't they hurt your teeth, Jack?
No, not at all. Actually, they help to keep my gums strong.
Oh, Jack, there you are. We were looking for you. Oh, you have guests, I see.
Oh, you noticed.
Hi there, Mary. Yeah, Benny, it's hard for Mary to miss me and the dummy Bergen, sitting next to me.
Now, that's not very nice to say, Charlie.
Well, Jack, that's okay. I'm used to Charlie opening up his mouth like that and really having nothing important to say.
Edgar, isn't that being a bit hard on the lad?
No, Mary, he's just being his usual self. Lazy and not always aware of what comes out of his mouth.
Well, you made me say it.
Edgar, I didn't say he was lazy. What do you think, Charlie?
Ambition, my dear Mary, is a poor excuse for not having sense enough to be lazy.
Oh, Charlie, you are so adorable.
Ooh, why, Mary? I didn't know you ever noticed me in that way.
Oh, in what way, Charlie?
You know, Mary, in that way. Woo!
Charlie, I do need to check my lines for our radio show, so I'd better go now.
Oh, Mary, may I have just a little kiss goodbye?
Well, I surely can't see any harm in that.
Oh, I wish you could. A harmless kiss doesn't sound very thrilling.
Well, Charlie, let me just kiss you right on your little wooden chin.
Mary, stop. I'll give you 24 hours. Okay, don't stop.
I'll see you later, Charlie. Bye-bye.
Charlie, are you all right? Charlie?
What's wrong, Bergen?
Oh, it's nothing, Jack. Charlie is still recovering from Mary's kiss.
Yeah, I ain't recovering. I'm reminiscing. Woo!
Hey, say, Edgar, you grew up in Chicago, didn't you?
That's right, Jack. Just down the road from where you did, in Waukegan.
Yes, those were the good old days. Waukegan High School.
Well, for me, Jack, it was Lane Tech. Now, those were the days. What memories. What history.
Yeah, ancient history.
Edgar, I always thought you went to Lakeview High.
Lakeview High? I hate to admit it, but he's right, Bergen. That's where I was born, created. I remember it well.
What do you mean, Charlie?
Well, Benny, when you've got a memory like mine, like a wooden trap, you don't forget anything.
Like money.
Just like me, Charlie. I never forget where I put my first dollar bill.
Or his last one. Say, Jack, I think we need to get back to planning our radio show. What's in this bag here? It looks like coins.
My mother hates you.
Dennis, this doesn't concern your mother, and it doesn't concern you either. This is just between Don and myself.
She still hates you.
Dennis, why does your mother hate me?
Because she has to count all those pennies and put them into those paper rolls and take them to the bank.
Dennis, can't you just tell your mother that she should just be happy that you're getting paid?
Hold it. Hold it this gosh darn minute. Stop this bickering.
Huh?
We've got to stick together. We're still in all of this together.
Jack, why is all this going on now, especially when the show is almost over?
Well, Mary, this whole thing is Don's fault. He not only made me a sarcastic introduction, but now he tells me that I owe my whole career to him, that if he didn't eat and get fat, I'd have no show at all.
Well, Jackson, Donzie's got a point there.
What do you mean?
Look here, Jackson, what I have to do to live up to the character you gave me?
Look, Phil.
Do you think I like to drink?
Huh? What do you mean?
Do you think I like to spend my time in pool rooms and cocktail bars and staggering home at 4 o'clock in the morning? You think I enjoy that? Who do you think I am, Ed McMahon?
I see, Phil. You mean to say you do all this just for my program?
That's right. I do it for your program, Jack.
That's right, Jack. We all do it for your show.
That's right, boss.
We do it for you and our audience. That's why we do it.
Dennis, is there any other reason why all of you do this show?
No, Mr. Benny. I think they've all said it pretty well.
Dennis, be careful.
So do all of you agree that you do the show for me and for our wonderful audience?
Yes,
we do it for you, Jack.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Now, that is just so wonderful to hear.
Well, here it comes now. 3, 2, 1.
Everyone, I really appreciate all your hard work for me and our audience. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our time is up for today's show. I just wanted to thank all of you for being here today.
Wait a minute, Jackson.
Now, what is it, Phil? We're just about ready to go off the air.
Jack, you know exactly what Phil is talking about.
You mean?
Yes, boss. Payday.
Isn't doing all this for me and our wonderful audience and for all of Johnny Carson's divorce lawyers enough? Now you want to get paid, too?
Yes,
we want to get paid.
All right, all right already. Good night, everyone.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
And now, from the NBC studios, high atop the bioscience building of Gateway Technical College in beautiful downtown Burbank. It's Ronan Martin's Laughing.
Hey, Dick, we have another show.
Already?
Yeah, we're doing it from Gateway Bioscience Building in beautiful downtown Kenosha.
Yeah, bio what?
Yeah, look that up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
I think we should get the show going instead.
A poem by Henry Gibson. There are many flowers. I have one that's red and green. That's all.
Very interesting. And Americans like that beats us in the war?
Sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me.
Sock it to me, and so help me, I'll clip you, I'll mow you down.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingies. A gracious good morning to you, sir. Is this the party to whom I am speaking? What do you mean, who is this? This is the all-powerful phone company. You twit. This, now, in the interest of improving customer service, I have some very important questions to ask of you. You don't have the time. I notice from my phone line monitoring devices here that you are talking to me from a cellular phone. Is that correct? Of course you are, you twit. This is the phone company, and we know everything you talk on and everywhere you go on the internet. You pervert. I was just being polite in asking you, and you don't have the time. How about I reverse the polarity on your cellular signal and melt your brain right out of your head? Oh, sir, that would be so nice of you. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you with the service you receive from the telephone company? And, sir, let me demonstrate what bad customer service is like. Sir? Sir? Are you there, sir? Okay. Just waiting for the ringing in your ears to clean up? Oh, I understand. I hear that all the time. Now, how do you rate your service now? Oh, 11. Well, sir, thank you so much. I guess there's no reason to ask you anything else. Have a wonderful day. Right, like I care. How I wished for the good old days when I could really screw with people's calls. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, the red 7 on the black 8.
I think I need her in charge of my vault.
Hey, Goldie, did you hear Johnny Carson's getting another divorce?
Another what?
A divorce.
Why, Dan, we're not even married.
Crazy!
Here come the judge. Want to go back to my place?
You pervert! I'm not that kind of girl.
Want to go for a cup of coffee?
You pervert! I'm not that kind of girl.
You want to go for a walk?
You pervert! I'm not that kind of girl.
Well, what kind of girl are you?
You can bet your sweet bippy.
What's a bippy?
Look that up in your funkin' Wagnalls.
Say, Dick, let's get to the cocktail party.
Blow in my ear and I'll follow you anywhere.
Oh, wild one, I'm gonna tame you down now.
Say, Mr. Benny, I hear you're supposed to be really cheap.
I'm not supposed to be cheap, I am cheap.
Huh?
In my parish, we take a collection every Sunday. Say, Father, how can I get in on that?
Say, Charlie, have you ever been to such a party? People are acting crazy, dancing, drinking. I know. Just keep the guy with the saw away from me.
Very interesting. We used to have parties like this in Old Berlin. We had ways to party, or at least the Gestapo said so. And if they said so, it was so. And I feel no better about these Americans.
Say, Dan, did you hear Johnny Carson is getting a divorce?
Yeah, I heard that someplace.
Yeah, I did too.
Crazy!
Park bench.
A poem by Henry Gibson. There are many birds. I have one that's blue and white. That's all.
You know, Henry, that's sort of a short poem.
But it's from my heart.
Crazy!
Sock it to me and I'll sue you for everything you got.
Always with the money. You Americans. Very interesting.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingies. A gracious good morning to you. Is this the party to whom I am speaking? Is this Mr. Tony Hayward, of the CEO of British Petroleum? Yes, of course it is. It's you. This is the phone company, and we have everyone's number. And what's this changing your name to BP? Are you a part of some witness protection program? What? You're not British? You're international. You sound pretty British to me. And you're back in England now? Just like you Brits. Make a mess and then go home. Remember what you did to the White House? Yes. Yes, that's right. Burned it to the ground and then right back to merry old England. You're sorry. You're sorry. One First Lady after another has tried to redecorate it ever since, and it still looks like a third grader decorated it. I mean, really, red room, blue room, green room. Sounds like Dr. Seuss.
You might be able to help with that. Say, Buster, it looks like you're redecorating the Gulf Coast pretty well. Just stay out of Washington. Not that to say that I haven't thought about tarring and feathering some of those politicians myself. What? What? You need to get going? You're very busy? Doing what? Getting your life back? Having tea? I swear you Brits have some nerve. Hello? 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 Well, I wonder what Rahm Emanuel is up to. Slick!
Well, Dick, another show is over.
It is?
Yep. Say goodnight, Dick.
Good night, Dick.
And now, from Kenosha, it's The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. This epic panel in the Doc Severance and Orchestra invites you to join Johnny and his guests, including Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen, the Golden Strings, and Phyllis Diller. And now, here's Johnny. Yeah-ho-ho!
Wow, what an audience. I haven't seen an audience this crazy since those World Cup matches. Isn't that nuts down there? I mean, South Africa, right?
Yes, sir. South Africa. Johannesburg.
Johannesburg, you say?
Yes, sir. South Africa, Johannesburg.
Okay, then. That's our Ed. Always the conversationalist.
They are excited down there, sir. They should just relax and watch the game.
And what, pray tell, would help them to relax?
Beer is good.
Well, I'm sure it is. Any particular kind of beer?
Well, Bud's a good one.
Okay, now that Ed has made his next car payment, we can get back to the show. Boy, this oil spill in the Gulf is something else. Wacky, I tell you. I mean, it just won't quit. I did hear that the federal government will no longer allow any burning of the oil.
They won't?
No, I said they won't. With the new health care bill, fried seafood is no longer allowed. Whoa, hey, turn on you quick. Elections are already going on. Can you believe it? I mean, it seems like we just got done with the elections, and now people are really angry this time around.
Yes, sir. Indeed they are, sir.
Yes, indeedy. Are you on the wagon or something? I mean, seems like you're not quite yourself.
No, everything is fine here.
Okay. Anyway, yes, voters are mad. All kinds of yelling about debts and payments and jobs and medical coverage and big salaries. Sounds like one of my divorce lawyers. Well, we have a big show tonight, and we'll get to it right after this.
Well, usually this is the place where I push Budweiser, but given that we're in Wisconsin, I'll tell you instead, drink Miller's. Yes, and now, as promised, here is that famous visitor from the East, the all-seeing, all-telling, all-knowing, the celebrated sage sayer of sooths, and former executive of Goldman Sachs, Carnac the Magnificent. Welcome, 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 all-knowing one.
Why, thank you. Where are we?
Well, we're in Kenosha, but shouldn't you have already known that, all-seeing one?
Yes, just testing you.
Well, all right. I have now in my hand the envelopes. The envelopes that a child of four, or at least most BP executives, can see to have been hermetically sealed in the mayonnaise jar kept on Funkin Wagnall's porch, and then moved to Brian Albrecht's office until this very moment when we bring them to you.
Brian who?
The Brian who pays for this gig.
Oh, that Brian.
Now, no one but you, the omniscient, the omnibus of knowledge, that borderline extrasensory perceiver of all things unperceived. Now, what the answer? The answers to this, to these questions for Carnac.
Are you done?
Yes. And here is envelope number one.
thank you.
Hermetically sealed.
Yes.
Brian Albrecht's office.
All right, silence, please. Here comes the judge.
Here comes the judge.
Yes, here comes the judge. What my ex-wife said on her way out the door.
Yes, and now, envelope number two.
Silence, please.
Silence, please.
Yes, silence, please.
Jeez.
A Bloody Mary, a martini with olives, and a screwdriver.
A Bloody Mary, a martini with olives, and a screwdriver.
A Bloody Mary, a martini, yes. Describe Ed's new vegan diet.
Oh, and now I have in my hand the last envelope.
May a BP oil well blow up in your backyard. Silence, please. Dopey, sleepy, and grouchy.
A dopey, sleepy, and grouchy.
Dopey, sleepy, and grouchy. List the nicknames for BP, the Minerals Management Service, and Barack Obama.
And now, we are happy to present the Golden String.
That's wild. It's wild. Let's have another hand for the Tremper Golden String. My next guest will be opening next Friday night at Harris in Lake Tahoe. Please welcome Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Charlie, you look like you've been out in the sun. Were you on vacation?
Hello, Johnny. Where's the human beer stein? Ed.
Oh, he just finished doing a live commercial backstage.
I hope not with those horses, with those big feet. Clodhoppers.
Charlie, don't you mean the Clydesdales?
Oh, yeah. I would get him confused with Red Skelton.
Edgar, where did Charlie get his tan?
He was out on a riverboat last weekend.
Was he gambling?
Johnny, where's McMahon?
Charlie, I think he's just coming into the studio right now.
Charlie, why are you so concerned about Mr. McMahon? That's not really McMahon. It's his sauce I'm interested in. His what?
Did I hear someone mention my name? Here's Johnny.
Ed, we're already started the show. You did that already.
You are so right, sir.
Now, Charlie, you have to behave yourself.
How have you been, Charlie?
Just fine, Snootful. Say, where are the horses?
You mean the clodhoppers?
No, I mean the Clyde Cadiddle Hopper. Clydesdales.
Ed, I think you need a vacation again.
Johnny, why don't you, Ed and Doc, fly up to Tahoe for our show this coming weekend?
Edgar, you know I'd love to do it, but I can't.
Well, why not, Johnny?
Lawyers.
You mean?
Yep. You know exactly what I mean, don't you, Charlie?
Yeah, girl trouble. Yep, I know.
I knew you would understand.
Well, of course. I know all about it.
Yeah, who's your latest girlfriend, Charlie?
You mean girlfriends, plural.
Okay, girlfriends.
Well, there's Lana, Raquel, Jacqueline, then there's Genevieve, then there's Judy, and Nina, and I'm running out of fingers to count on. Charlie, I think that's enough now. Bergen, there's never enough for me. Why, I remember when... It's a long story and a dirty one, too.
Charlie, I think we need to go to break. Do you have any last words for our audience today?
I do, Johnny. Doc, could you have your violin play that melody I asked you about at rehearsal? There comes a time in every dummy's young man's life when he has to realize that life isn't always a bowl of cherries, that sometimes he finds the pits. And finally, ambition may be a poor excuse for not having sense enough to be lazy, but Fergen's favorite is... I thought you'd never ask me, Charlie. Like I always say, hard work never killed anybody. Yeah? But why take a chance?
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen. Our next guest is a frequent and favorite visitor to the show, Phyllis Diller. Welcome to the show, Phyllis.
Wait a minute. Just trying to get situated. Would you move down already?
I'm trying, but I just can't move at will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's what Fang tells me when I'm waiting for him to get out of the bathroom. Ha! Okay, I think we're all set here now. So, thank you, Johnny. Good to see you, too.
So, what's new with you?
With me? With you? I hear you're in need of a lawyer.
Well, yes, that is true.
Well, you know, Fang went to law school.
Really? I did not know that. When did he pass the bar?
Oh, that. Well, with Fang and Ed being such good friends, they never could pass the bar.
So, Phyllis, doing any shows lately?
Oh, sure. Gotta work, you know. Was out entertaining the troops.
Where were you? Iraq? Afghanistan?
Gettysburg.
Which side?
Whoever pays. For me, it's all business. I don't choose sides.
Oh, come on, Phyllis. You're not that old. I mean, you look great.
Johnny, my face has been pulled back so much, my smile really is from ear to ear.
Say, Phyllis, what do you think of that oil spill in the Gulf?
Oh, it's just horrific. What those people are having to go through down there, and those poor animals. Have you seen how the workers have to scrape that sludge off those birds? Now you know what I go through getting my makeup off every night.
Really slather it on, do you?
Oh, yeah. But that oil spill is really a tragedy. People's lives will never be the same. Fang did have an idea to get that CEO more incentive to get it all cleaned up, though.
Really?
Yeah. Make him live with me until the oil is gone.
That Fang is always the jokester.
Oh, yeah. A real comedian. He also told me that I should use my hair to sop up the oil.
Well, I did hear they were looking for dog hair.
Watch it, Johnny. I told him if it's so bad that he should just leave. He replied I wouldn't let him have the keys to the covered wagon.
Phyllis Diller, everyone. A few weeks ago, one of our favorite guests, Rue McClanahan, passed away. In a tribute to her, we'd like to replay one of our favorite segments from her best-known show, The Golden Girls.
Oh, doesn't anyone want to hear about my Saturday?
Well, sure, Blanche. I'll ask. I mean, it's only been a week since we heard the last Wild Night of Passion story. Although I do have to say I am surprised you're home at this hour, let alone at the breakfast table. You're usually not up and about on a Sunday till noon.
Oh, Dorothy, it wasn't like that at all.
What, no handcuffs this time?
Oh, go on.
That's what he said.
Now, you remember I had that charity event in the Everglades yesterday afternoon?
Oh, yes. It's the Kill an Alligator, Buy a Belt event.
Dorothy, people are finding those creatures swimming in their swimming pools. I mean, how can one have a decent poolside cocktail party with an alligator in the pool? And all we want to do is put them on farms so we can keep them in one place, not wandering all over South Florida.
But you digress.
Yes, well, there I was, doing my socializing duties. You know, chatting, making sure the guests had plenty of bourbon so as to keep their wallets loose, when I came across this dreamy doctor.
Another distinguished doctor, Blanche. I was hoping for Crocodile Dundee, at least.
Oh, this wasn't a distinguished doctor. This was a young doctor, just out of school, and so dreamy. Tall, dark, wavy hair, beautiful white smile, great shape. I haven't seen a hunky young man flesh that good since those hired hands my daddy would have out on the plantation when I was just a young, impressionable young lady. Oh, there they be, shirts off, sweating in the hot sun, working the tanned muscles in the hot, sweltering heat, pounding those fence posts into the warm, moist earth, Blanche.
Come on back to us, honey. Come on back. Well, those were three really great shows. Before we thank our underwriters, let me tell you who our stars were today. Andrew Potter, Don Jensen, Gary Stamm, Jill Jensen, Kathy Zulke, Cameron Spencer, Julie Burton, and Larry LaFonce, Renee Thomas, and Vicky Dumay. A very special thank you to our guest, Tremper High School's Golden String. Today's program was directed by Terry Lawler. Finally, all three of these really great scripts were written by Steve Brown and Mike Ulster. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater is provided by the Kenosha Law Firm of O'Connor, Dumay, Aaliyah, and McTernan, and the Agape Chiropractic Clinic in Lake Villa, Illinois. The WGTD Radio Theater is an exclusive production of WGTD HD Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, and Brown Ulstra Productions. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm today's host, Julie Burton. Be sure to listen to our next show, August 21st. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today.
Listening to WGTD HD 91.1 Kenosha Racine, NPR News and Classical Music from Gateway Technical College.
NPR News in Washington. I'm Pam Coulter. With the backdrop of peaceful protests, leaders of the G20 countries are in Toronto for a summit meeting on the global economy this afternoon. NPR's Scott Horsley says White House officials are downplaying differences between President Obama and his European counterparts.
President Obama has been urging his G20 colleagues not to slam the brakes on government stimulus efforts for fear of undermining the fragile global recovery. That argument has gotten a chilly hearing, though, from some European leaders who are more concerned about rising deficits. Administration officials tried to paper over those differences, saying there's broad consensus on the goal of sustaining economic growth. Today's G20 meeting follows a smaller session of G8 leaders. The G8 members pledged more than $5 billion over the next 5 years to improve women and children.